As we wrap up the show today, I always like to check in with folks managing money, especially on behalf of big universities. They just have such a fascinating window into the investing world, especially at a time where people are looking for answers, I feel like, Carol.
Yeah, exactly.
And our teammate for this, Janet Lauren, endowments reporter for Bloomberg News here in our Bloomberg Interactive studio, Interactive Broker studio, and on the phone, Doug Phillips, chief investment officer at the University of Rochester, joining us from campus there in upstate New York. Doug, great to have you here with Carol, Janet, and myself.
Thank you for having me back. Glad to be here.
Well, so how are you living in this market right now? Because I feel like we're talking to investors all the time, most of whom are probably playing the market a little more day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute than you are. I know you have a long-term horizon, but how does it feel to you right now? You've done this for a while. What does this market feel like?
Well, it's 36 years for me of doing this in various capacities, but this is a time when we've had an amazing 7 or 8 year performance from U.S. stocks and bonds. It's a time when probably active management will come back. That's what we've seen in our portfolio for calendar year 18. We're actually going to have a little positive result, we think. Our benchmark for the year was down about 7%, so it's a good alpha year for most endowments, I think. I also wanted to take the opportunity because there's been some press recently in other news outlets about a study that came out of two universities that showed over a shorter time period of about 8 years that an endowment underperformed a 60%, 40% index, passive index. And I wanted to correct a couple things that were in that report. And if you don't mind, I'll just do that right now.
Sure.
The endowments have a longer time span than just 8 years. And even though some endowments, including our own, modestly underperformed in that very strong bull market, when you think about budgetary implications of managing schools and the way the endowments fit into those budgets, you have to diversify your program because those periods of outperformance in a certain sector, certain style, they don't usually continue. So that over 10 years, 9 years, and all the longer periods, we always outperform those passive benchmarks, a mix of stocks and bonds, and most of the big endowments do that. So that's a correction I think should be made to that press report. And I also wanted to point out some other interesting observations about the charitable giving that the authors found that good investment performance seems to trigger people wanting to give to these universities and colleges. I'm not sure that that's the case. I think it's probably the opposite, that bad performance keeps people away from giving to these schools. And so I think you do have to have good performance over a sufficiently long period of time, and that helps influence giving to the schools.
So can you talk about the idea of alpha and how this volatility might shift people away from the ETFs and the index funds of the world?
So people, Janet, you mean individuals or
institutions like yourself?
I think most institutions have had other things in the programs that don't correlate to indices. So hedge funds are a good example, and private equity. And real assets, they tend to hold up very well in volatile periods. And in some cases, hedge funds make significant money when there's a lot of spread in the prices of stocks, even in certain industries. You saw this today that retail was down, but other sectors were up. And those tend to be good periods for highly active managers.
You know, there's an interesting story that we have, Doug, in the Bloomberg Businessweek magazine this week. And it just, you know, a reminder to investors who might be a little shocked by some of the volatility that we've seen as of late and the significant losses, despite, I know we've rallied off that Christmas Eve low, but nonetheless, they might want to take a look at their portfolio and say, you know, what's really my tolerance for risk right here? And I do wonder how you guys, I know you're long-term investors, I get that, but you also want to preserve your capital. How do you take into effect, you know, do you change your risk tolerance in an environment like this? Do you have to make some adjustments?
It's very different running an institutional portfolio than running someone's 401k or IRA. Because if you're not spending from your program, you can accept a lot more volatility, frankly. Mm-hmm. And then 401ks in the accumulation phase, you should be able to accept that. I'm not giving individual investment advice here.
No,
but
you know what I'm saying? I am wondering, like, you know, are there certain environments where you have to kind of rethink some stuff?
Yeah, look, our goal, we really don't want to ever have a five-year period when we have a loss. And we've never had that in my 19 years here. We've always made money over a five-year period. If you look at indexing, even a balanced index with a lot of different things in it, it has several periods where there are losses over 5 years. So we have a duty to diversify and protect against those kind of losses, because we don't want to cut the salaries of our faculty, and we don't want to reduce the scholarships to our students, and that endowment provides a huge amount of support for those. So that's how we think of it.
So what are the types of uncorrelated investments that institutional investors are looking for at times?
Yeah, I mentioned a couple. The hedge fund program, particularly if you have multi-strategy funds that invest across lots of different things and you have competent partners making those decisions, long-short funds that truly do short and have the patience to wait for those shorts to come into play, and then a great alpha generator above public markets is private equity, venture, and buyout funds. That's been it's been our best performing category over 19 years, and getting access to some very good funds puts you in top quartile land, which we like, and you know, it really is accretive to the ability for the endowment to support the school.
Doug Phillips is Chief Investment Officer at the University of Rochester, joining us on the phone from Rochester, New York. Janet Lauren, our endowments reporter here at Bloomberg. So many scoops and so much insight coming out of her. Thank you both for joining us.